How does your garden grow?
It's time for Greening Out with Jim on 95BFM.
Yes, it's that time to talk all things gardening, and Jim is joining us on the line from some garden somewhere. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Good, how are you, Jim?
I'm all right. I'm in my own garden in Westmere today.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, nice to be here.
Lovely. We've got lots to talk about.
Yes.
So, well, actually, first of all, I'm curious what you're up to in your garden. What are you working on?
I'm literally just pacing around right now.
Nice. Yeah. It's a big part of gardening.
Yeah. No, I'm actually due to go work with some lovely clients in Mount Eden today, so just kind of getting ready for that. But in my own garden personally, I've actually propagated some of this really interesting natural cross between Muhlenbeckia estonii and complexa, which are two really interesting native plants, divaricating, sprawling, but got a real little hybrid, and I've been slowly multiplying it, so I can use it on jobs, and it's really, really cool. So
I'm
looking at that now. It's a special little plant that you can't really get. Yep. So get it from me.
Okay, so you've got the goods.
I have the goods.
Do you walk around Auckland in a trench coat with kind of, you know, little
you open
clippings?
Open up a sleeve and it's got a wall of clippings in there.
I mean, yes and no. I do walk around Auckland a lot, but sometimes you can take a few wee cuttings or something if it feels right, or if you've got permission from the person. Yeah. But that kind of leads into what I wanted to talk about this morning as well, because we're coming to the end of, like, you know, the most productive, voluminous, lovely kind of growing season of that peak summer. And autumn's actually my favorite time in the garden, I think. I'm also just kind of an autumn person in general. I think towards the end of summer, it starts to get a bit drained. You need your energy levels a little bit replenished by some cooler weather, and a little bit of melancholy goes a long way after a while, you know. So I mean, the plants kind of feel that as well. So what I wanted to talk about is if you're growing things in your garden, and there's like maybe a particular plant, say you've bought one of those six packs of tomatoes or six packs of some productive thing or certain flowers or whatever, and you've noticed that maybe one of them is just really, really good. It's super tasty or growing really well or hasn't got any like mold or fungal things from the humidity. That's something that you should kind of, if you do see that in the garden that you're working on or that you have, that's something to kind of be quite aware of. And you can take that plant, take the seeds, save them, and grow them next year. And by saving the seeds of like the strongest performers, you're essentially kind of creating your own cultivars, essentially, because that's how we got all the cultivars we have today, is selective plant breeding. So people would plant the things, find the desirable traits for, be it delicious fruit or disease resistance or a cool new flower or something.
Oh, you there? Oh no. Hello, Jim?
Oh no, Jim's having a gym emergency.
Jim's greened out. Sorry. Hey, Jim, are you still there?
I am still there.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
Easy. Okay.
Sorry, let me just crack up. Hold on. Oh man, I was doing some real cool chatting then. It went straight through to my Bluetooth again.
Not the Bluetooth!
Yeah. I know. I'm quite new to Bluetooth. I was previously pretty wired in, but now it's just zooming around, connecting to whatever. Where was I?
You're talking about how that was how we started with like selective plant breeding.
Yeah. So basically all the cultivars that we have today are because someone has been out there growing something and seen something desirable, be it a cool new shade of flower or resistant to some form of disease, or it's just a particularly strong grower. So everything has been selectively bred over time to have these desirable traits. And you can do that too in your own garden. So if you do have something that you're like, shit, this one's a winner. So if it's a flower, kind of let it seed and let that seed, kind of let the flower turn to seed. And you can kind of like wait till it starts to brown off, drop it back, put it in a paper bag and let it dry. Mm-hmm. You can store it until next year, totally fine. Just make sure to label what it is and where you got it from, and possibly like why you're doing it. So is it taller than the rest? Is it one that didn't flop over in the wind? Is it one that has just a particularly gorgeous flower or fruit that you're like, damn, this rules? Mm-hmm. It's just such a good thing to do. Again, it's going to be free plants for next year. But you're also developing your own kind of personal collection of seeds that you can have to grow potentially for the rest of your life, but also to share around with friends and whānau to grow in their gardens as well. And you start getting these really hyper-localized cultivars that are super tolerant to the tamaki conditions. So it's a really cool thing to get into. And now's the time to do it. So if you're doing it with flowers, that's kind of the easiest way, but you can do it with tomatoes and any kind of other productive veggies as well. If you're finding one of the tomatoes that you're growing is like a superstar performer, just when you're chopping one up to eat, just save a couple of the seeds. You want to wash all the gunk off of it because they're quite slimy. And you can kind of leave it in a little puddle of water for a day or so to help the gunk kind of just get off there. Dry it super well with paper towel, and again, chuck it in a paper bag, seal it up, write the date, what it is, why you saved it, and next year you're going to have, ideally, better plants that you're growing on. And if you do this for a few years in a row, you're starting to really progress what that plant can do. And it's a really special thing. So I highly encourage people to get into that.
That is very cool. I did love reading the email from you that said, and also how if you find a feijoa that rocks your world, you could grow that exact one.
Yes. So this is the thing with growing stuff from seed. Is growing things from seed is never going to be like true to that plant. If you want an idea, like an identical, so I guess the inherent variability in seeds is how we get such interesting and diverse cultivars long term. But if there's something that you're just like, oh my god, I want this again, like this feijoa is so banging, I just want this one. Now's the time that you can take cuttings. I've only done it a couple of times, and it did have varied levels of success, which kind of corresponded to my varied levels of care and attention to doing it. But essentially, if you're looking at a feijoa tree like I am now, you'll see the fresh new growth is kind of green and a bit fuzzy, and it leads down to a more kind of woody stem. So basically, somewhere where that green meets the woodiness, it's generally about, you know, 10, 15 centimetres of that fresh new growth. That's where you want to cut it. Don't cut it if it's flowering, but the ones I'm looking at now in my back garden aren't flowering yet. And this is actually a perfect tree if it was one that I wanted to to keep propagating it. But yeah, just make a slight little cut under one of the leaves. Generally good to go doing a little bit of an angle, strip some of the leaves off. You want to cut most of them back, and then just whack it in some soil. It's best to do it in some special kind of seed raising mix because it has a lot of the kind of perlite or pumicey drainage stuff. You don't want to use compost or potting mix just because it's too kind of nutrient heavy and it just doesn't allow the fine root growth to happen. But basically shove it in some really nutrient deficient soil seed raising mix and spritz it really well, put it in the shady corner of your garden, and Auckland humidity kind of keeps it a bit moist, but you can kind of spritz it every now and again and just leave it, forget about it. If you do it for a few different ones, chances are a couple of them are going to take with pretty minimal effort, and then as we're getting to the end of winter, it up and you've got an identical clone of that exact feijoa tree. The tree isn't damaged at all. you're just furthering the genetics in a and spreading it around, basically. So that's maybe something to do if you're walking down the street and there's a tree on the corner that's just so slammingly great, and maybe some of the branches are hanging over the footpath. You don't need to take much. It's literally just like 10 to 15 centimeters of one little stem. So, you know, get the permission of the owner, or if it's growing over the footpath, then, you know, fair game. But, yeah, definitely just try it. Like, if you take a couple little cuttings and only one of them works, great. You've got a feature tree. If they all work, then great. Give them away. Like, there's really not much to lose.
Back when I was in my height of kind of gardening madness, there was one year I took too many cuttings, and so had this whole year of waiting to figure out what I'd taken cuttings of. They were just all on this, like,
sill. Oh, you didn't label them?
No, absolutely not. It was just a mystery. It was like mystery boxes, but, like, in real life.
I've done very much the same thing, and still to this day do. My labelling is getting slightly better, but,
it's tough out there.
Yeah, it's tough, and like, you know, when you've got a bit of chaos brewing inside you, it's like, you know, the world's chaos as well, so it's kind of, you vibe it.
Actually think it adds, know, a bit of an exciting edge to cutting.
Like Russian roulette.
Yeah, like, what is this? Yeah.
Yeah, like when you forget to label your dahlias or whatever, you're like, oh my God, what did I actually plant there? Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you so much for enlightening us. I'm feeling really, I'm going to go around the garden this afternoon and see what's doing the best.
Mm. Yeah, see what's doing the best and save it. And it's a really special thing to do. If you're doing this for, you know, veggies and flowers and stuff, it's really lovely to just give some seeds away that you've saved. Like, these performed really well in my garden, and now they might perform really well in your garden. It's a special thing to do. It's a lovely gift, so yeah.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Jim. Good luck out there, and looking forward to catching up again next month.
Sounds good. Take care.
Ka kite.
From the smallest seed grows a mighty forest.
That was Greening Out with Jim, only on 95 BFM.